call the meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, Appeal 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board at Borough Hall, stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Do you all please rise and join me in saluting the flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I have a roll call, please?
Klimko?
Here.
Heinrich?
Here.
Noon?
Here.
McDonald?
Here.
Thompson?
Here.
Hagan?
Here.
Connor?
Here.
First up, we have a council appearance for the introduction of Kim Spangenberg. She will be our new municipal alliance coordinator, provided everybody is okay with it. Kim, would you like to come on up and just introduce yourself?
Sure.
Before we do this?
I'm Kim Spangenberg. I'm currently working over at the Family Guidance Center at the Prevention Connections office. That's how I was introduced to the municipal alliances. I'm interested in drug and alcohol prevention, both as a professional, I've been a social worker since 1993, and also as a mother, I have an 11-year-old son.
Does anyone have any questions for her? Hearing none, then I'd accept the motion for Resolution 179-2015.
So moved. Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? You're it.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. At this point, I'll open up the audience portion for remarks, petitions, statements, and testimony from guests. Sure. If you would just give us your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Justin Flynn. I own 117 Railroad Ave. Sent out an email a while back to everybody here concerning some flooding issues.
Right.
It's been unresolved by the town engineer since before March. March is where I formally started an email chain.
Refresh my memory as to what we've done, what has happened so far.
Basically, the grade of the road, it's on O'Shea Street connecting okay. Fisher and Railroad Ave. There's two driveways on it. It's 117 Railroad being my property, and my next-door neighbor's property, 18 Fisher Ave, or Street.
Whatever. Okay.
Basically, what's going on is the street has been capped several times, and in doing so, it has brought the grade of the street up to or above the grade of my garage floor and causes excessive water damming on my property to exceed a foot on my side yard of water. In the cold months, turns to ice. I've had 8 people fall on it, one requiring stitches. Opens me up for a lawsuit. There's nothing I can do to resolve the ice situation. I printed out pictures that everyone could see if you all want to see them. Of the flooding, and then I was told by the town engineer that it was the grade of my driveway in the manner that that I repaved it. That's what it was last week. There's pictures from last year, the first flooding. There's pictures of the first freeze that stayed ice my entire driveway, the whole length of it, and my whole side yard until May when we had the thaw. March when we had the thaw. At that point, I got 4 inches of water in my garage, destroying everything that was on the floor. A couple trips to the dump later, I learned to invest in some steel racks so that everything is off the floor. Lessons learned. But the big problem is the street, the grade that it's at, being now that it's been capped higher, there's parts of the street that are collapsing. I've asked if the engineer, I requested that he come look at it when it was flooded out. A couple days later, he came in. His response was that my driveway is pitched to my garage. The pictures will clearly show that it's not. It's pooling at the drive, or it's pooling at the street, and it's working its way all the way back into the garage. I have videos, if anyone wants to put them in. There's a bunch of videos of when I can finally use a shovel to push the water across the street by hand. It'll come out of the garage and it creates a river. I have to chip the ice away just to lower the level so that the water can exit the garage.
When was the last time the engineer looked at this?
Back in March.
Back in March.
Back in March. We've spoken on the phone a couple of times prior to that. After he told me that the grading was to my garage, he suggested that I do one of three things because it's too expensive to put a storm pipe in. One being doing a French drain across my driveway into a dry well on my side yard. You'll see by the amount of water, the amount of soil that I would have to remove would be upwards of 100 yards of dirt, and then filled in with stone my entire driveway to be trenched out, just to remove, to get the water to flow away. My neighbor experienced flooding at the bottom of his driveway. His lot has actually been lifted to prevent the flooding.
Can I ask you something? It looks like in those photos that you did the work with Bobcat, like it looks like it was all...
That was done after the ice had lifted the first driveway.
Mm-hmm.
I had someone trip on a piece of asphalt that had lifted on the first freeze, so I thought it better to scrape all the asphalt off and have dirt there. I applied for my permits to extend my driveway, explained my situation, so they gave me an extended period to do it. Which then the engineer told me that he was going to make a note on my file in order to allow me to maintain millings because they're more absorbent than concrete or asphalt as required by town ordinance. He said I could maintain millings until the street was repaired. Told me that he would try to get it on the schedule, but it looked like it'd be a couple years out. Forget his name, I have it in an email here.
Dawson Bloom?
Yes, Mr. Bloom. At that point, you know, I'm continuing to each year have ice. You can see how it regularly floods out. That picture, the first one with the leaves and my truck in the driveway, that is with 0.17 inches of rain coming down in an hour. I looked up, it was October 28th. I have 3 to 4 inches of water over the whole front of my driveway. It's a damning situation. So the first thing that he told me to do was, being that it would be too expensive and too long of a process to engineer a storm pipe for a formal storm drain, that I dredge out the driveway and do a dry well on the side. That's obviously going to need engineering for the amount of soil that needs to be removed. The second thought he had was to lift my garage, lifting it, adding a foot to it so I can have a steeper grade driveway. So now it needs to be another foot higher. Doesn't resolve my side yard situation. Again, a huge expense at my own cost. And the third thing that he suggested was, once again, myself putting storm drains in my driveway at my cost and undermining the street to dump on the lot below. Now, in the email that I stated to everybody, I said it was against town ordinance. I've been corrected by a lawyer. It is not against town ordinance. It is not against state ordinance. That legislation is in limbo because there's not enough issues of diverting water onto private property. It has neither been approved nor opposed. And it's been like that for like 5 years, according to the Department of Environmental Protection.
Where's the nearest storm drain to your house?
There is a storm drain on the corner of Fisher and O'Shea. It's not an actual storm drain. It's once again a drain that a storm grate has been put in the ground. A tube has been placed across into what used to be, it looks like an old underpassage under the railway. It dumps right into that. It goes back beyond the canal.
But that's the other end of the block, right?
That's at the other end of the block. They still experience flooding because it's below the grade of the street, humps up and then drops down. And it's actually collapsing into the ground. I don't know if he's complained. I had asked him about if he had flooding issues, and he said that his were just down at the bottom of his driveway, which is understandable to some degree. He's nowhere near the excess that I have.
Do you have anything to add to that, any recent developments that you and Dawson may have had?
I have not discussed the situation with Dawson. I can.
Okay. And Streets Committee, you know I was looking over there.
Uh-huh.
You know, this is outside of the email. This is the first you've heard of it or looked into it?
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Does it pool the whole length of your garage?
Yes. I have...
I saw the picture.
And yeah, I have a video
in the
inside.
Alleyway, right?
What's that?
It pulls in the alleyway to the right of your garage also.
In between... The alleyway is actually a level grade with the road, and then I don't know if either the town had done it or it was done by previous owners, but there's actually a small berm because that water was running in, so they tried to create a berm, which that berm has eroded away. So that alleyway, the town easement, which my neighbors have asked me to cut down the sumac trees because you can't drive a vehicle through there, it's completely overgrown. I mow it. Same situation.
Been that way
for
40 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I have stuff in that garage up there that I have to go in the driveway and back out because the branches overhang.
There's a right away.
There's a 14-foot easement.
Between Fisher and Railroad Avenue, there's a dirt right away in between there.
It's
out on the
between
James
and O'Shea.
Right. Between James and, yeah.
It's half gravel and then it becomes compacted dirt in front. Basically at the corner of my lot all the way down to the street's end. And I think that was almost by design of the people on the other side. They didn't like higher traffic going through there. I don't see how many people are actually going to use that to go down one way.
Nobody.
But no, exactly.
Let me ask you a question. You're talking about the way the crown of the road is now, right? It's causing the water?
The crown of the road is higher than the pitch of my garage, so it does not go... I do not get any drainage until the water has risen enough to cross the crown of the road.
Okay.
And if you walk down to the end, you can see at least three caps from just the plows coming in and tearing lines up. You can see 6 inches of broken asphalt.
Do you think that milling that crown down and repainting with a pitch towards the... You're talking about the place right on the corner, and then there's like an open field.
The open field is just 115, which was a second issue that I wanted to bring up.
Right.
Aside from that, but that's to be dealt with later.
The railroad track?
The railroad track.
Over the railroad track, then there's
first
that orchard
right.
land that was like
right,
a little orchard
right.
in there. Then it's O'Shea Street, then his house.
Okay. It's that grid is...
I maintain both sides of the street.
If they change the pitch of the road,
if they were to dig the road out and mill it out,
would just milling do it, or would they have to dig it too?
I'm not an engineer per se. I've done my fair share of landscaping coming up before I left for the Marine Corps. You know, I ran. I ran a drainage team for a large scale landscaping company. So when it was brought up to me, I know exactly what goes into making a dry well. It needs to be lowered about 6 inches from where it's at now in order for my driveway to stop flooding and for it to stop coming into my house, or not, I'm sorry, my garage rather. And that was suggested that it's a couple years out, which is why I was not required to pave my driveway.
But now, correct me, Fisher Avenue at the bottom, where you're talking by the pathway that goes down to the railroad track, that storm drain that's there, That's the only one, and that goes downhill, so all that water runs all the way down Fisher Avenue till it gets to the end of O'Shea, correct?
Yes, yes. And then everything that comes down the alleyway and down, I guess it would be the west side of, of Railroad Ave, all comes into my yard from the whole easement and everything comes into my yard and my driveway. My major concern with it is, like I said, I have learned after the first time it flooded, I have everything on racks in the garage. It's taught me to be a more organized person in my garage.
there's
a positive. It got rid of a lot of clutter. Unfortunately, that clutter was worth the money. But if I get water again, the only thing that's going to be damaged is, you know, maybe some cardboard boxes or wood that's on the floor. But I lost my train of thought.
That's all right. I never received the email.
The problem is the ice.
By the way,
I've had eight people fall, and it's, you know, that opens me up for a lawsuit, and that's my fear.
Yeah, I got into it today.
Okay.
But I went back forever. This is news to me. I've had problems with my email.
Okay. I've seen the pictures. I mean, we got the email.
And the email had four videos throughout the emails. I don't know if you were able to open the attachments. I've got nine videos here. I don't know if I showed the river going out of the garage, but...
Dave, I guess if the streets committee would work with the engineer?
If you could give your number to the manager, your phone number, or do you already have it?
I don't know if it was on the email.
Oh, yeah, I have my personal phone number, my work phone number, my email.
Okay, that's fine.
You have it?
Personal and work all on that email.
Or maybe just send it in again so we don't have to search.
Going to talk to the engineer tomorrow.
Okay.
No, I mean, I'm going to talk to him about something else, but right here. 117 Railroad Avenue is flooding.
How much water did you get in your garage?
There's pictures of about 4 inches.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably the worst it's been. At its deepest point, because there's a corner in the back where the foundation has sank a little bit, it was about 6 inches. At its median height, it was about 4 inches. And generally, when I get a good rain, I'll get an inch puddling will come in, you know. It's generally between an inch and 2 inches at its worst. That was an extreme. I also take into account the freak winter that we had last year. It was extremely long. It was extremely cold. We had a lot of snowfall. When that thaw came, that was a worst-case scenario, and that worst-case scenario was 4 inches in my garage.
I didn't notice in the picture. Do you have concrete floor in the garage?
Yes, I do.
And you have any drains in the floor? Do you have any drains in the floor?
No, I do not. It's a solid slab minus some aged cracks. But I just, you know, I'd asked Mr. Bloom if there had been any resolution. He told me he was going to put O'Shea Street on the schedule to be paved. And I just want to make sure that we're not going to get another cap, because that's only going to create a larger issue for me.
Everything we've been doing recently has been mill and paint.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to say if everything was milled down and it was down to bare dirt again, you know, putting 4 inches would definitely help, because at that point you're bringing the road down 5 inches. You know, between capping, you get 2 to 3 inches versus your initial 4-inch compact.
Right.
So to bring it down and get your 4 inches, I think it needs to drop 6 inches. That's my own personal opinion.
Right.
Take it for what it's worth.
Well, I have that down here. Now, you take care of the property 115, you said?
Yes, I have. It belongs to Joanne Lee. I purchased my house from her son, Corey Lee, the township police officer for Morris County, Clay County. He told me, at that point, it was overgrown. I asked him about it because... He had told me that at one time it was an apple orchard. Since then, the taxes had not been paid since 1998. And he maintained it for a while, and then he has let it go. He told me that if I were to maintain it, that there was no problem from his or his mother's end, that I utilized the property as long as it was available, and that if I were to try and get some sort of settlement on the tax lien that obviously was held, that we could arrange a purchase so that I could buy that property. Obviously, that property is non-developable due to the water tanks in the ground from the railroad. It is residential non-developable, it's worthless. They refuse to pay taxes on it for that reason.
Taxes haven't been paid since 98?
98.
Is it an outside lien holder? Do you
know? No, it is a municipal lien.
It's a municipal lien?
Yes, it is.
Are we
foreclosing?
Yeah, we may be foreclosing on that.
Yes, that,
we are.
That came out 3 days after I sent my email.
Okay.
So, I'm a conspiracy theorist. I figured after 18 years of no tax payment, 3 days after I sent an email suggesting that the water, my water situation being dredged onto that property, 3 days later it's being foreclosed on. And that hits home for me because for the last 2 years I've mowed that property. Everyone on the block has thanked me for it. I went out and bought a brush hog to take down everything. I planted grass, and it's now not unsightly anymore. You know, I put a lot of effort into it. Now I don't want to see it go back to the state that it was. It's not going to be bought by anybody. It values one person, and that one person is me.
You say that there are tanks on it, underground tanks?
There are underground railroad tanks, yes.
And what was in them, do you know?
I'm not 100% sure what they were. I believe they were water tanks for steam engines.
Okay. I mean, maybe that's a place to channel the water.
It's literally right up against the railroad tracks.
I was told that the railroad tracks, the railroad had rights to 50 feet for tanks, and they took 150 feet, and that is why that property was then zoned residential, non-developable, because the ground stability is not there.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the Morris Canal there, but it's completely flat. I'm pretty sure that those tanks have collapsed. You know, that canal is completely flat where those tanks were.
The canal's on the other side of the street.
It continues on.
Yes.
It continues on all the way to BASF.
Mm-hmm.
There's a section of about 100 feet or so that's completely level.
Okay. How big is that property?
That property is 0.92 acres, I believe.
How big? 0.92
acres, I believe.
A little short of 1 acre.
Yeah. But I've gone through there, and every week, you know, on a good time, I just had neck surgery, so there's periods where, you know, it's not exactly easy for me to get out there and mow. I had a pinched spinal cord, but I still went out there just because the neighbors greatly appreciated it. They asked me if I was going to turn it back into an orchard. They got all excited because the apple tree came back. That apple tree came back to life this year. And everyone's excited about it, and I don't want to see it go back to a state of disdain because it only hurts home values.
Okay. Well, the Streets Committee is going to look at it with the engineer, and when we have your contact, and when we find your contact information, they'll get back to you.
And then the other thing concerning that is I know that today I saw the agenda. There's a few tax liens being settled. I had called and expressed interest in that property, trying to get some sort of settlement on a tax lien. I was told that I couldn't do anything until mid-December, 45 days from October 16th. It gets foreclosed on, and anybody who wanted to settle tax lien no longer can. Is there anything that can actually be settled so it doesn't have to be foreclosed on?
Well, I don't know if that's a bad thing, because we foreclose on it, it's ours.
It is ours.
And then
we can sell it. Exactly. So then, that's a good thing for you.
Well, that might be a good thing for you.
Nope, not. Because the tax lien's there, and then you're going to charge
The tax lien goes away after foreclosure.
Yeah, the tax lien will go away after.
I was told that the starting price of that property would be for what the tax lien plus the assessed value is, and that was by the tax collector. So it would turn potentially into settling the tax lien and being able to purchase the deed to keep a foreclosure off of Mrs. Lee's record, to having to pay $10,000 to $15,000 more.
That's
for a piece of non-developable property.
Well, the problem here is you have no interest in the property, so you can't...
I do.
But you don't, you're not on the deed, you can't redeem the lien that exists.
Right.
There's, the, I may be wrong, I read through the deeds, but there was one of the deeds that's being settled today, or the tax lien's being settled today, that was paid by a financial institution in lieu of the owner.
They may have interest in it that I'm not aware of, I would have to...
You're not talking about that property, you're talking about some...
Not for that property, it's on today's, it's on today's agenda.
Yeah, this is the redemption of the tax certificates that are on the agenda, I think he's talking about.
Oh, okay, those are redemptions, those are people who are redeeming liens. Are they on the foreclosed list?
One of them said...
One by the title company. The title company has an interest in the property.
If somebody doesn't pay the taxes, usually the financial institution will pay them, or, you know, they'll take you out of the tax.
Or the title company.
With permits, right. And then the people actually have 2 years to pay that company back.
Okay.
This is a redemption, they're paying that company back.
Okay.
So they're gonna get their property. You understand what I'm saying? They bought the tax lien. There's a difference between a tax lien and a foreclosure.
Yeah.
The foreclosure, the town becomes the owner of that property, that, the back taxes go away.
That was what my understanding, what originally I had thought, because I...
You're here talking to us?
Yeah. I'm here talking to you to...
Things can be negotiated.
Yeah. And that was my whole idea.
Nothing's being promised.
Yeah, I know. The tax collector told me that the starting bid would be the property value plus the lien, because it's municipal and will not be forgiven, being that it's municipal lien.
But if nothing to be promised, pay that much for it.
Nothing is being promised.
I'm not looking for any promises here.
I mean, ultimately, we don't want to be a big property owner in town. We want to take it and sell it.
Yeah.
We don't want to, we're not looking to make millions of dollars off of it.
Yeah, I just wanted to see that this wasn't a closed door conversation between myself and Mr. Bloom or myself and the tax collector, that people were aware of the ongoing situation.
Well, I appreciate it, thank you. And I'll be in contact with you.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Oh, Mr. Flint, thank you for your service, too.
You're very welcome, sir.
Thank you.
Hello.
My name's Rich McGuire, 23 Green Street, Washington. I'm here about my sidewalks and curbs. That was supposed to have been done a long time ago.
Did I see two?
It's in the email.
Yeah.
Dawson was contacted by me yesterday for an update, and he got back to me today. He said the contractor will be there in 1 to 2 weeks.
1 to 2 weeks?
Yes.
Well, that's what they've been telling me all along. And then nobody shows up.
I've been up there.
Yeah, well, you...
Yeah, I've been up there a couple times.
I would like it done before it gets too cold. I don't want concrete poured when it's too cold. You know, they put an additive in the concrete for cold weather.
An antifreeze.
Yeah, but I don't want that. I want it done before winter.
With a cure on its own, right?
So you'll make sure that it'll...
Oh, well, I'm talking to the engineer tomorrow.
Right.
Mr. Flynn here, I can talk to the engineer tomorrow.
Well, I just want it done so I can make arrangements to put my car somewhere, you know. That's all.
Mr. McGuire, I'll get back with you also after I get done.
Give me a call. Come up, see me. Let me know what's going on. Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
Thank you. You too.
Anyone else from the audience? That leaves you, Bob, really. Okay. Okay. Then I'll accept the motion to close the audience portion.
So moved.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Let's see, we have no reports. Do we have any committee reports this evening?
No, but we will...
Next month.
I'm not going to be here for next weekend.
Neither am I.
Well, we have a quorum. Everybody else will be here, right?
Who is...
Dave and I will be missing the next meeting.
Right, are you guys going to be here?
Yeah.
Monday.
Monday, 16th.
Thank you.
Should be.
Mention it Tuesday.
Should be, unless something pops up.
Okay.
Will you pop up, please?
That works. Let's see, we have no old business. Let's see. First two ordinance discussions here, we're pulling, correct?
That's correct, we're going to wait for Mr. Allen.
Good.
Which takes us for the introduction of ordinance 8-2015, fixing the salary and wages of certain municipal officials, et cetera, et cetera.
So move.
Okay, is there any discussion on that? Roll call, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Conry?
Yes.
Thompson?
No.
I'm sorry? No for introduction?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, yes.
Oh, I'm just clarifying.
Sorry.
That's okay. I, you know what, I didn't make my sheets up, so I'm a little disorganized here. Hang on a second. McDonald?
Yes.
Noon?
Yes.
Heinrich?
Yes.
Klimko?
Yes.
I guess then the motion to approve on first reading.
So move.
Second.
Is there any discussion? I have a little bit. Agency designation, and I'm thinking of this for other places, local enforcing agency shall be the Washington Borough Department of Fire Prevention. Should we add into it and or its successors or assigns or something like that? Should the division change its name or something
like
that?
Wait, where are you at?
First page.
What are you doing the job?
42-2. Local enforcing agency shall be the Washington Borough Fire Department for fire prevention.
No, you're talking about the fire pit.
Yeah,
we're talking about the salary.
Salary or salary.
You know what? I am.
Yeah.
I got a long order in my packet.
Salary.
In that case.
Never mind.
It's one of those days today.
Oh, tell me about it. Can we start again?
Yeah, let's start again. Okay, then I have no discussion.
Hi, Chief.
Any other discussion that might be relevant this time? It's a roll call for these.
Higgins?
Yes.
Conry?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Noon?
Yeah.
Heinrich?
Yes.
Klimko?
Yes.
Okay, hang on a second, because I have to do this with my phone. Advertisement of
8-2015
will be November 13, 2015, with public hearing and adoption on December 1, 2015.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion on that? We can just do our own thing. Mm-hmm. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? That brings us to Ordinance 9-2015, providing funding for the sewer project on South Prospect Street.
So moved.
Second.
Is there any discussion on that one? Hearing none, a roll call, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Conry?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Noon?
Yeah.
Heinrich?
Yes.
Klimko?
Same.
And I guess a motion to approve on first reading.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any other discussion on this one? Roll call, please.
Conry?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Noon?
Yeah.
Heinrich?
Yes.
Klimko? Advertisement of 9-2015 will be in the Star Gazette November 13, 2015, with public hearing and adoption December 1, 2015.
Motion to approve the publication, please.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? New business. Mr. Heinrich, you'd like to speak a little bit on MX or EMX?
I don't know how to pronounce it. MX, we'll call it MX.
Okay.
I got an email from a John Smith who does residential electricity aggregation, and I'm asking council to consider having him come in and speak to us about what exactly his company does. Basically, you guys are probably aware of it, about 5-6 years ago, electricity became deregulated, where the town, like JCP&L, actually owns all of the lines, and that you can get a different provider. What this company does is they actually have different companies bidding on the electric and gas continuously, and they have a very good track record with a number of towns. They were voted in the New Jersey Conference of Mayors magazine, Member of the Year by the Conference of Mayors, and there's a, I don't know if you got a copy of the email that I have, but they have a ton of municipalities that this has been done in, where they've saved thousands of dollars. I don't know enough about it to speak about it, you know, as John would be able to, and he's definitely available to come in and speak with us. And I'm looking to do it December 1st, because there's a lot of people are going to be absent at the next meeting.
Sounds good.
Can I make a motion to have him come in?
Second.
We have the motion and the second. Any discussion? Just so you're aware that there are other organizations that do this. We've seen them down at the League of Municipalities before. I'm sure we will see a few more. Mm-hmm. Just because we're having him come in doesn't mean we have to go with this one.
Yeah.
And we have looked at this probably when it first happened, but it was too new and nobody was really interested at that point.
Right. Yeah, I mean, when this first happened, there were a lot. You guys were getting stuff in your mailboxes, I'm sure, from all these different entities.
Oh, yeah.
Energy companies, and I'm a victim of one of them. I won't name the company, but I had signed up for it, and in the beginning I was saving a ton of money, and then I stopped paying attention to it. And I'm noticing that my electric bill, you guys know I put an addition on the house, and thinking, geez, my electric bill has gone up a lot. And then I noticed that the rate was way higher than what JCP&L would have offered. So that's one of my concerns with something like this, and that's why I want him to come in and talk to us. As Scott said, we'll look at other companies, but at least we'll get a better education of what we can do and how we can save probably a significant amount of money.
Sure. Okay. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. The school district and borough power purchase agreement. Mr. Heinrich and I met and discussed this the other day, Monday, I believe it was. And we don't really have much, but Mike, you understand it better than I do, so I'll let you talk further about it.
Basically, what we're looking at, we have two things. You have the photovoltaic study for all of the buildings in town,
mm-hmm.
you know, the schools and the borough hall. And the first page really says it all. If you go to the bottom of that first page, those numbers, kilowatt DCs, that's the number that they come up with for what the building can actually handle for in terms of the photovoltaic cell. It's an estimate based on, if you turn the other pages and you see these, it looks like a picture with like a globe with the earth. They actually, and you can see in the first one, you guys don't have any color, I do. What the guy does is he holds a photo sensor, and it'll measure how much light in a given area on the roof of the building. And it takes into account how the sun changes during the seasons and also the trees in the area. And that's going to determine how much electric diesel produced. Also, the way the roofs are facing, like Memorial School is perfect because it's a flat roof versus some of the roofs around here. It's ideal to have your panels facing south or southwest. That's what gets the most sun. So the issue that Scott and I were discussing, number one, when this does go out, that is the biggest concern is who's insuring the panels. Let's say that they put the panels on one of the roofs of these buildings and we get a huge storm with hail or something, and they're completely destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the companies that do this type of work, you're going to see a 50-50. Some companies will cover it. Other companies, it's on the municipality, and we have to really look at that when we get all of this bid. The other thing is those numbers that they're giving us in this preliminary study aren't the number that you're going to see from every company that comes in, because it depends on the system that they're putting in, and there are a number of different technologies out there. When you're converting the electric from the roof on a solar panel to come into the building, it has to go through an inverter. That's direct current that goes into the AC that comes out of all of the outlets in the building and what we use. And it's a 15 to 20% drop in the efficiency when that's converted. And that depends on the company,
you know, which company we decide to go with. But it's not just the cost, there's a number of other factors we have to look at, because the initial cost, which should be absorbed by the company because they're going to make money off of producing the electric. There's just a lot of factors we're going to have to look at when we get all this bid. And we're hoping we get a good number of them so we have a lot to compare. But that's basically it. This is just a preliminary study. And we have a copy of, a draft copy of the request for proposal, RFP, or somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Anybody have any questions?
So you got the garages in there.
What's that?
The garage?
Yes. Yeah.
That's totally a separate apart from the sewer plant, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they're saying that with the garage, that needs minor work on the roof. Scott and I would like to talk to the engineer that came up with this to find out what that is. For the library, they're recommending the roof be replaced. It's been patched several times. Councilwoman News just told me that it has a bunch of patches. It's leaked in the past. It's probably recommended in you know, the future that we do fix that roof. But for now, with the, it doesn't look like it's feasible to have, you know, the solar system put out there.
But that doesn't mean it can't be done in the future.
Can't be done in the future, yeah. And the technology's just going to get better and better.
And then don't forget the Borough Hall, too. This roof ain't that new either.
Yeah, but they actually, they said it wasn't in that bad of shape.
Well, Scott thought it gets wet.
I think somebody cut a hole in it.
You did that, didn't you?
Yeah,
right. Right above your seat.
That's it.
Okay. I guess the next step for us is going to be to meet with the schools and discuss it a little further, talk about, you know, what Mike was just talking about, and look to go forward from there. And their engineer, of course. Okay. That brings us to Resolution 172, 2015, the dedication by Ryder for senior activities.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Is there any discussion on that?
A dedication by rider or chapter 159 is what the state uses to for a municipality to establish a trust fund.
Okay.
So when we refer to trust funds like the recreation trust, mm-hmm. and our snow trust,
right.
they have to be created by what the state calls a dedication by rider, or you will also hear us refer to them as Chapter 159. This will allow the Senior Service Committee or the Senior Activity Committee to have a trust fund where they can keep money and utilize it for their program.
So they don't always have to keep requesting funds to be allocated. So this money will just...
That's correct.
This money actually becomes dedicated to that.
Right, it's dedicated right. for that purpose only.
Yeah, it won't be... We give them seed money. Then they pay it back, and then they get more seed money for
right.
something else and pay it back.
That's yeah. Okay.
Do we need a roll call?
Okay.
Okay, roll call, please.
Connery?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Noon?
Yeah.
Heinrich?
Yes.
Klimko?
Yes.
Okay, let's do 173 through 176 together. There are redemptions of tax certificates.
So moved.
Second. Okay, any discussion on any of these? Roll call, please.
Connery?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Noon?
Yeah.
Heinrich?
Yes.
Klimko?
Yes.
177, authorizing an assignment of a tax sale certificate.
So moved. Second.
Okay, any discussion on this one? Another roll call, please.
Noon?
Yeah.
Connery?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Heinrich?
Yes.
Klimko?
Yes.
178, cancel taxes for a veteran exemption.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion on this one? Another roll call, please.
Connery?
Yes.
Heinrich?
Yes.
Klimko?
Yes.
Noon?
Yeah.
McDonald?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
And 180, 2015, cancel receivable balance and corresponding reserve balances.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion on that one? One last roll call.
Connery?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Noon?
Yeah.
Heinrich?
Yes.
Klimko?
Yes.
Vouchers.
Make a motion to pay the bills.
Any discussion on any of the bills? Hearing none, a roll call, please.
Thompson?
Yes.
Conrad?
Yes.
Hagan?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Noon?
Yes.
Klimka?
Yes.
Heinrich?
Yes.
What's on your recap list, Ms. Blanchard?
We will schedule a meeting with the township for November 9th at 4 p.m. Mike, do you want to reach out to EMS, or should I?
I want to do it.
I don't, we both have...
I already emailed him, he said he's available. I told him I had to do that.
Okay.
So I'll just let him know that.
All right, I'll put him for council appearance at 7 p.m. then.
That's fine.
Okay. We'll schedule that for December 1st. And so far, Mayor, that's it.
We have a need for an executive session tonight for contract negotiations?
Yes.
So I would accept the motion to go into executive.
Can't do any council remarks?
No.
Just do it afterwards.
Go home.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Gentlemen, if you will...
Get the door, Dave.
Council remarks. Mr. Heinrich, you have anything?
No, not now.
Ms. Noon?
No.
Ms. Conrad?
Nope.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes, we had a very good and safe Halloween with the trick-or-treaters. No reports of any injuries or anything. And please remember, next Wednesday, very important day for me, Veterans Day. Thank you.
Ms. Klimka? Mr. Thompson?
Nothing to do with that, but, you know, there's a lot of damage going on the night before. My car's got spray painted.
Oh, really?
Yes, up in Carlton Avenue area, copter call. So, be honest with you. Same words.
Not Carlton, too, Thompson, too, the hammer.
Yeah.
Four cars got spray painted, big time.
And also, when the contractors are doing work, they at least put up signs saying the road is milled on Washington Avenue.
I will address that with Dawson tomorrow.
A lot of people are hitting that, and there's no signs or nothing.
Listen, if anybody got complaints like curbs being damaged and anybody calls you, please refer them to Christine. She's, because now it's water company versus Brown, you know what I mean? What we did and what the water company did. Good enough?
Good enough. And then I can disseminate them where they have to go.
Thank you. And you should probably contact the water company, tell them that you're going to send those people there.
I do via Finelli. They are coordinating it. I'm in constant contact with Kevin Smith at Finelli with any complaints. Well, I have to do it that way.
Well, we did get two complaints about Halloween hours.
Too long?
That was one of them. The other one was a standard one of there's too many kids. I had 700 kids and they were all from out of town and
yep.
You know, that kind of thing.
That happened.
Turn your light
yeah.
I heard too early.
Turn your light on.
3 o'clock, too early.
Yeah.
It was canceled for 2 years in a row, so I mean.
Yeah, well, make up all the candidates.
Right. A lot of the seniors felt that it was too much. Yeah. And I explained to some of them that we went until 7 o'clock most days because, you know, parents get home at 6 o'clock, they want a half an hour, 45 minutes to take the kids out. Well, start it later. People think it should only be 2 hours as opposed to 4 hours or 3 hours. 3 hours is what we normally do.
Right. 6 to 8? I just heard people complaining 3 o'clock started too early.
Yeah, and I think we should go back to our 3 hours.
Which would be 4 to 7?
4 to 7.
That makes sense.
That gives kids time to get home from school, change in.
Sports.
Next year is Sunday, so.
Yeah, they can go downtown and then go hit their neighborhoods. All right, if there's nothing else, I'll accept the motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?